The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let me welcome the former president of Tutor to the Morning Rumble. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, Mr. Murray, and thank you for having me.
Right. Thank you very much. And of course, welcome inside. Now, government has supplied about 73,200 laptops to students from 2010 and 2013 at a cost of approximately $253 million. You know, what are your thoughts and opinions on a whole surrounding these Form 1 students getting these laptops?
Well, the first question we have to answer is, what was the original objective of the one laptop per child initiative? We need to be very clear in terms of the objective, whether it was purely political in nature or was it designed as an educational objective to improve student learning outcomes. That's the first thing we have to clarify. From my memory, the objective wasn't very clear. Laptops were given out to children when they entered secondary school. And as the president of Tutor, first vice president and then president, I would have indicated a number of concerns that we would have had regarding the initiative. We would have identified a number of issues that we would have liked to have seen addressed. For example, ensuring that the teachers were adequately trained, that there would have been adequate infrastructure and support systems in place to support the use of the devices as a teaching and learning tool. But that did not materialize in the way we had anticipated. So the first question we have to ask is, how effective was that initiative from the 2010 to 2015 period? The government would have taken the decision to revisit that position again now that they have returned to office. And I am curious about the scientific basis of that decision. The question we have to ask is, was there an evaluation impact of the initiative back then that would justify returning to this position? The fact of the matter is, we can cite a number of studies that would have been done locally, which would have indicated that the initiative did not really translate into improved student learning outcomes as we had anticipated, which is why, again, we beg the question, what was the original objective of the initiative?
And, you know, with that being said, I thank you for sharing those thoughts. We had to wonder the objective, and when you look at the whole laptop distribution, what benefits do you think was the pros and cons for students receiving this device?
Well, if laptops are to be deployed as a teaching and learning device, the teacher has to have a certain level of control over the deployment of the devices in the classrooms, and that didn't happen. We would have advocated for the devices to be given to schools and equip the schools with the proper support system, the infrastructure, the training of teachers, etc., so that teachers can actually incorporate the use of the devices in the teaching and learning process. That didn't happen. What happened was the children got the devices and they were basically toys. They were using it for web surfing, for playing games, for pornography. And within the first year, what we would have found out was that most of the laptops were non-functional. They were damaged, they were defaced, they were just not, you know, doing what I suppose the government had intended, so that teachers were not really able to deploy these devices as part of the teaching and learning repertoire. So that when we look at the result of CSEC, for example. Let's say the first batch of students, 2011 or so, who would have gotten a laptop, they would have started their CSEC exam in 2016 and onwards. If you look at the CSEC results, if we're using the CSEC results as a benchmark, we would have seen that there was no improvement, really, no difference in the performance of our students at the CSEC examination. So, again, I am concerned about the rationale that would have been used to inform the decision of the government to revisit that program.
You know, you mentioned pornography games. From my understanding on the matter, is that the laptops, first of all, some research has shown me that it was refurbished products. That is what I was told. You know, I make one or two calls, call this one, check this one, go. You know, I did have a niece that benefited from it back then. And certain sites were bad. So when the parents got this device, they could not have accessed certain adult websites and so forth. So I'm not too sure about the pornography. I think the gaming aspects of it was very limited. But what I wanted to ask you, as you were the head at the time, and if you think it would have been, what sort of infrastructure do you think was necessary? Because if you have these laptops open in class, these are adolescents, these are 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, between 10 and 13-year-olds accessing this device for the first time in most instances back then. And they have to use this as a teaching tool. What sort of infrastructure lacked for students to thoroughly benefit from this instrument that was given to them by government for learning?
To clarify the comment I made regarding pornography, what we found out, and this is from my personal experience, and I can tell you other teachers and school officials would have had the same experiences, is the children were creating their own pornography. They were taking nude photographs of themselves, etc., and sharing. So that was the experience that we had. In terms of the deployment of the devices for teaching and learning, what has to happen is the teacher must be able to, for example, have all the devices networked. If you have 30 students in front of you with 30 devices as a teacher, and you are using that to deliver curriculum, you have to ensure that all the children are seeing the same thing in their screen at the same time, that you don't have distractions, that they can't do whatever they want with the device while the teaching and learning process is going on. You need the relevant technical support as well to do that. You need IT technicians, you need infrastructure, you need electricity supplies, etc. You need air conditioning rooms, so that there's a whole lot of other infrastructure that has to be put in place in order for the devices to be adequately deployed as a teaching and learning tool.
Because for me, when I look at we adopt the model from foreign classes, universities, law schools, overseas, and you see them with their laptops and the devices and so forth. But I think a mainframe would have been necessary in the schools so that teachers, whenever they send work, everybody's device are connected like a terminal, so to speak. So they show that you're getting the work and it's being done. And then the care for these devices, the maintenance work on these devices, because not every child is articulate to self-care and with these type of things. So you have some students very, very meticulous, they'll take care, and others, it just haphazard, it come in the bag, it throws. Do you think going forward it's practical that government should invest millions into this and yet again fall through the same rhetoric that we saw happening, as you just alluded to, some 15 years ago?
Well, the question we have to ask is, what return are we expecting on this investment? If it's an educational investment, then the initiative is somewhat misplaced. The first thing that must happen is, if you want the deployment of these devices as an educational tool, then we need to ensure schools have those devices, enough devices in their possession, so that the devices can be used as a teaching and learning tool across the curriculum. So, for example, what I would have done as principal of Palo Seco Secondary, we would have acknowledged early on that all children should be IT literate from Form 1, because we felt that IT is practically a life skill now. So we took steps to ensure all our children were exposed to the basics of IT. In order to do that, we needed to get enough devices in the school. We had two IT labs. We had to install a third lab with the assistance of the PTA. We had a third IT lab. So each teacher would have also been trained. We had the IT support, the IT technician there. And we ensured that whether it's math, whether it's history, whether it's social studies, EDPM, et cetera, all teachers were adequately trained to use the devices, go into the IT lab with your students under controlled settings, and you can use the device now to deliver your curriculum, regardless of the subject area, as well as use the device to conduct assessment, because we have to remember CSA has indicated since 2015 or thereabouts, they had a target of 2017 to start CSEC exams using that online modality, e-testing. Unfortunately, they were not able to achieve that target because many of the territories indicated that they were not ready. They didn't have the infrastructure in place to facilitate e-testing. But we recognize this is inevitable, and CXC has been pushing the deadline back. I think next year, January, they are going to try to start with e-testing in the January CSEC exam. So we recognize that we need to get teachers, we need to get students all on board with e-learning, e-testing, et cetera. But again, it has to be done in a controlled way. If you just give the students the device and it becomes their property, then the school does not have that level of control in terms of ensuring the device is deployed as a teaching and learning device. And what we found is that the discipline of the children and their parents was simply not there. The assumption that they would take care of it in the proper manner, that simply did not happen.
You know, one of the things I want to ask you as well, in terms of e-books, all right, you know, a lot of students, they don't have the monies to buy these books. Is it that government could look at getting some of the, when they distribute these laptops, they're pre-programmed, or at some point, they can get access to e-books online. That's one. And two, the fact that you have taken an approach to IT training of students, could it be looked at that computer classes, and I'm saying computer classes, breaking it down in the simplest form, do you think that that is necessary and should be integrated as part of the syllabus, especially for the entering the schools? One of the things that I recognized many, many years ago is, well, first of all, let me allow you to answer, and then I'll tell you the reason for asking.
Well, the fact of the matter is, as I said before, in Palisades Secondary, we acknowledge that basic IT skills are life skills. Everyone needs to be familiar with the use of these devices, and we know that the ICT technologies are evolving so rapidly. We need to give children that opportunity to remain up to date with this rapidly evolving technology long after they've left school. So schools have a responsibility to impart those basic skills to the students. Secondly, given the way education is evolving, e-testing is a reality in many parts of the world. And like I said, the Caribbean Examination Council has already indicated its intention to go in that direction. So it would be wise for schools to put the necessary systems and structures in place to ensure that we get to that point where you can not just have e-learning, but e-testing and e-learning across the board. E-textbooks are one of the many ways in which you can facilitate e-learning. But there are portions that we must be mindful of. And I will point you to a study that was done by the Swedish government, where they reviewed their 2009 decision to go completely the way of e-textbooks. And 15 years afterwards, they realized that there was some unintended negative outcomes from that decision. So the government of Sweden appointed a technical committee, highly competent people in the areas of e-learning, e-testing, etc. And they reviewed that decision. Very responsible on the part of the government to review one of its, you know, decisions to go in a particular direction regarding its education reform. And we know Sweden is one of those countries that is renowned for, you know, incorporation of cutting-edge technology in its education system. The result of that finding raised a lot of red flags. What they realized, there were some unintended negative outcomes. And that has caused, earlier this year, the Swedish government to reverse its decision to go the way of e-textbook and return to traditional textbooks. What were some of those unintended negative outcomes? They realized that the younger the child, the concern about overexposure to screens, that became a major issue. They realized that screen deployment alone has a lot of distractions. Children can become very easily distracted. You have vision issues. You have the issue of poor social development. Children who are overexposed to screens tend to have very poor interpersonal skills. And we see that play out in the school system. So, for example, post-COVID-19, when children return to schools, we realize a lot of children just simply could not engage each other. They were, their attention span was very, very short. They couldn't have a meaningful, healthy dialogue and discussion with each other. Every little disagreement would escalate into a verbal conflict and eventually a physical conflict. So that teachers have been grappling with that, the outcome of that reliance on screen education during that COVID-19 period. And that experience, we should not ignore going forward. We should be very careful about how we rely on the use of the technology, the use of ICT in the education system. There must be that judicious balance between the role of the teacher, traditional curriculum delivery methodologies, and the modern technology. The teacher as the professional must be the one to make that professional judgment call. How and when do I deploy the use of the technology in the education process? Remember, with younger children, you have to be very careful about so many things, so that professional discretion must reside with school personnel in terms of how and when the technology is deployed.
In your respected opinion, do you think much research is necessary at this time before government should take this initiative going forward?
Well, research, yes. And I think I can point it to the editorial in a Daily Newspaper yesterday that pointed to three pieces of research that was done locally. One said, the conclusion in one, the purpose for which the laptop was intended was unclear to students, and owning the device appeared not to make a significant difference in their attitude towards learning. That's Parliament from 2014. Another piece of research concluded that these findings not only suggest that students' everyday personal laptop usage in the classroom is not in alignment with the eConnect and learning program goals, and that's Britain and Blair 2014. Another one concluded that several barriers to laptop integration are revealed, including maintenance issues, pedagogical challenges, and the lack of administrative and technical support. That's from Aladdin and Taipei 2025. So there has been research already done in the local context, which I humbly submit should be taken into consideration before we decide to expend approximately $100 million per year on this initiative. Again, I'm coming back to what is the original objective of the initiative. We cannot assume that it is about education.
Well, I think most persons would agree that the initiative would be one where students will have access to these IT devices and bring them more modern, in a more modern day school environment. I must agree that the feasibility studies probably was needed more. It needed more in terms of rolling out the template. I continue to think it's a good initiative. But the thing I was thinking is that even if you are exposed to basic IT training, computer classes as we know back in the day, you know, it still gives you basic knowledge. When you get into the world of work, and you would agree with me, what you learn in IT in a classroom, how to operate Microsoft, if you press F1, what it gives you. When you start functioning in a business, in a bank, in a credit union, or an office space, you then, because of your basic IT knowledge, and or for lack thereof, computer training or computer understanding, it's very easy to train you on various software that the company operates under. So that if you press F6, it gives you this window, and if you have to and to navigate from one window to the next. So I think it was a good initiative on that part. One person is saying, I went to visit a primary school recently and was appalled to see so little has changed since I left school 40 years ago. Still at the 4 R's, reading, recall, writing, and arithmetic. All the knowledge, information is at your fingertip. Use of knowledge is critical thing, and critical thinking is what's lacking. And the texter went on to say, my daughter's laptop received 14 years ago still works today. So going forward, I think what is needed is infrastructure, as we mentioned, for teachers. And in conclusion, you know, when it comes to the maintenance aspect of things, from your knowledge, do you think that the government had maintenance in place so that if students' laptops for some reason stop working, they could have taken it to this particular place and have it repaired?
Students were allowed to bring the laptops to school and get the IT technicians to attend to maintenance issues, but that in reality did not work out that way. A lot of students just never bothered, and they would have again used the devices for so many other things. So I don't disagree that giving laptops to people will help to improve their overall IT competency for life later on. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is, if you want to say this is a device that is going to enhance and improve student learning outcomes, student performance in exams, we need to have a slightly different conversation. And I am of the firm view that a substantial amount of money is being committed to this initiative. And if we are talking about improving student learning outcomes, I think the money would be better spent ensuring that all schools, primary and secondary, have a certain level of IT competency capacity, that the devices, the technologies can be incorporated in the teaching and learning process. Teachers are ready and willing to go in that direction, but it has to be at the level of the school. Enough devices must be placed in the school. No problem, you can give devices to students to have as their personal property as well, but don't deprive schools. Schools need devices in Palo Secondary. For the last couple of years, I have had to borrow computers from other schools to facilitate the conduct of CSEC exams,
mm-hmm.
because we simply did not have enough devices in the school, in a secondary school, in this day and age. So I am saying, if we're talking about returns on investment in education, these are the things we need to discuss.
Because I was wondering, and my final question was, do you think that students thoroughly benefited from this laptop distribution program, you know? Do you think so?
Not in the intended manner. Again, the intention was not very clear. If we go back to the 2010 to 2015 period, I am not too sure that the intention was very clear, and the research has shown that it was a very nebulous political decision that was rolled out at substantial cost to the state, and unfortunately, it seems we are going back in that direction.
I thank you very much for chatting with me this morning. The former president of Tutor, David Nansen, and I want to encourage you to have yourself a very safe day out there. We see what's happening, and we urge you to be safe. Thank you so much again for chatting with us.
You're welcome.
All right.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.